O Naskiba, 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 Gatir Anyata. So it says here, the Supreme Lord Krishna, whose transcendental body protects religious principles. So we must always be conscious, we must always remember the difference between the body of Krishna and the body of a conditioned soul. Krishna being absolute, Advaitam, his body and himself are none different, they are the same. We are Dvaita, we are different from the body. That is the first lesson of transcendental knowledge, is to understand that my identity, who I really am, is something completely different from the person I see in the mirror, or the person that thinks. These gross and subtle identities are separate from whom I really am. Krishna, however, is non-different from his body. He is one and the same. Still, he has a transcendental form. He's not formless. So that's a transcendental body. That transcendental body, even if he comes to this material world, still is unaffected by the modes of nature. None of us would be so ludicrous as to say that we are not affected by the modes of nature. It would be completely preposterous. Every one of us, at every moment, is being affected by the modes of nature. And as we get older, it becomes more and more apparent just how we are affected by the modes of nature. But Krishna, even he comes to this material world, is not touched, is not affected. That is a very important concept to accept and understand when talking about God or the Absolute Truth. Then it said, protects religious principles, because he himself is the propounder of religious principles. That's why he comes to this material world. He comes when there is a discrepancy, dharmasya glani. In the fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna uses this term, dharmasya glani. He appears when irreligion is prominent and there has been a disruption, a contamination, an adulteration of real religious principles. The ultimate fundamental religious principle is to surrender to God, to be obedient to God, and to ultimately love God. There is no meaning to surrender unless there is obedience. Obedience is the beginning of surrender. And there can be no love without obedience. There must be obedience. Even in a normal relationship, husband and wife, they have to be obedient to each other. They cannot be disobedient. As soon as there is disobedience, then that loving relationship breaks. So, religious principles, that is Krishna's business, to establish, propound and protect religious principles. Then the next point, Anushrinvata. Everyone in the audience listened to what Krishna had to say with rapt attention. That is the secret of success in hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. We learned that in the very first canto when Suta Goswami is answering the questions of the sages of Naimisharanya. He says, I will relate to you what I learned at the original recitation of Bhagavatam, because I was there in the audience when Shukadeva was speaking to Maharaj Parikshit. And I will speak to you as I have learned, because I listened with rapt attention. And that is the key to understanding Bhagavatam. And how can you have rapt attention? When you have purity. When you are pure in thought, word, and deed, then you're able to hear with rapt attention. But if your thoughts are dirty thoughts, if your thoughts are about illicit sex, intoxication, meat eating, or gambling, then how can you hear with rapt attention? Your thoughts must be pure, your words must be pure, and how can you have pure words unless you hear from pure sources? If you hear from impure sources, television, radio, and ordinary fools and rascals, if you hear from such persons, then your words will not be pure, because our words are simply repetitions of what we hear. How does a child learn to speak? A child learns to speak because the child hears from the parents. You'll see in a house where the parents speak in different languages, more than one language, the child learns to speak in different languages. I've seen this many times. In places where I go, the children can speak Hindi, Spanish, and English. How is that possible? A young child can speak in three different languages because the parents are speaking. So we speak words based on what we hear. Therefore, in Krishna consciousness, we should be hearing Srila Prabhupada, so that when we speak like Srila Prabhupada. If we don't hear Srila Prabhupada, if we don't read his books, then we'll not speak like him. We'll speak like somebody else. So that's a very important point. We have to hear the word. We sing every morning, Guru Mukha Padma Vakya, Chite Te Kariya Aikya, Arna Kariya Omani Ash. We simply want to hear the words emanating from Srila Prabhupada and make that one with our heart. So we must hear Srila Prabhupada so that we can speak. So everyone was listening with rapt attention. And that is, and if your words are pure, then your actions will also be pure, because everything happens from subtle to gross. That's why we don't have to engage in any kind of political or gross activities. Simply, we have to educate people and instill in them the seed of bhakti, the seed of devotion. When the subtle is manifested or planted, then it fructifies into gross results. Let us continue to the next verse. Text 9. Sri Bhagavan Uvaja, Aho Vayam Janma Brito. You're not there?
No.
Okay. Labdam Katsnyena Tatpalam Devanam Api Dushprapam Yad Yogeshvara Darshanam. Were you watching the video?
I need to change the camera
because
it was pointing a different.
Okay. Alright, synonym. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. The Supreme Lord said. Aho.
Aho.
Ah. Vayam.
We.
Janma Brita.
Janma Brita.
Having taken birth successfully.
Having taken birth successfully.
Labdham.
Labdham.
Obtained. Karts Nyena, altogether, tat,
of it,
one's birth. Palam,
the fruit,
Devanam, four demigods. Api, even. Duṣprapam,
rarely obtained.
Yat, which.
Yoga Ishvara,
of masters of yoga.
Darshanam,
the sight. Please repeat. The Supreme Lord said,
now our lives are indeed successful.
For we have obtained life's ultimate goal.
The audience of great yoga masters.
Which even demigods,
only rarely obtain.
Purport. Despite the great privileges the demigods enjoy as administrators of the universe, they rarely see such sages as Narada and Vyasadeva. How much rarer then must it be for earthly kings and mere cowherds to see them? Here, Lord Krishna, identifying himself with all the kings and others who had assembled at Samanta Panchaka, speaks on their behalf. So, let me see what I can remember in this. So, of course, Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, the Supreme Lord, said the same logic that Vyasadeva uses in Bhagavad Gita. Instead of saying Sri Krishna Uvacha, in Bhagavad Gita, Vyasadeva uses the term Sri Bhagavan because he wants the reader to understand who is speaking, that it is the Supreme Lord, it is God Himself who is speaking. There can be no greater authority than God. By definition, God is the supreme authority. There's nobody higher. So the speaker of this phrase is God Himself. Then the word Janma Britta, having taken birth successfully. Successful human birth begins with Atato Brahma Jigyasa. The very first aphorism of the Vedanta Sutra. Atato Brahma Jigyasa. Now that you have taken birth as a human being, your priority should be inquiry into the Absolute Truth. So Janmabritta, having taken birth successfully, that's the beginning of a successful human birth. That you begin to inquire about the nature of the Absolute Truth. Most people are not concerned. I was mentioning this last night. Most people are only concerned with successfully eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. For most people on the earth, if they can simply accomplish that, then they consider themselves successful. Especially in America, the dream is, the American dream, I have a house, I have a good job, I have money in the bank, I have health insurance, I have good family, I'm a success. People like me, everybody says hello to me, I am respected in my community. This is how people view a successful human life. But Srimad Bhagavatam says something different. Srimad Bhagavatam and the Vedas say, this is not a successful life. That is a successful animal life. All right, successful, polished animal life. Bhagavatam, Vedanta Sutra says, no. The real successful life is that you have realized the Absolute Truth. That you have realized who you are. That you have realized who is God and what is your relationship with God. That is a successful human life. That you have completely understood what is your relationship with God. Then, it says here, Krishna is saying, the ultimate goal is the audience of great yoga masters. But we learn from Krishna in Bhagavad Gita that of all yogis, who are the topmost yogis? The topmost yogis are bhakti yogis, devotees. They are the highest. As Krishna himself says, yoginam apisarvesham madgitain antaratmana shraddhavan bhajate yomam same yuktatamo mataha. The topmost of all yogis is the one who always is thinking of Krishna in faith, always rendering service. That is the topmost yogi. So when we come to Krishna consciousness, we are associating with the topmost yogis. Yes, we may be neophytes, but because we're engaged in this process of Krishna consciousness, we are the topmost yogis. Now, we're not puffed up, and we don't go around pounding our chest and screaming at everybody, we are the topmost yogis! No. We know we're the topmost yogis, and because of that, it makes us humble. And in humility, we approach anyone and everyone and try to give them this topmost process of bhakti yoga. So we should appreciate and value the association of devotees. That is a very important item. Always appreciating the importance and value of devotees, because they are the topmost yogis. Let us go to the next verse. Krishna is speaking. Do you have the verse there?
No, okay. It's the last verse.
That's okay. Kim svalpa tapasam nirnam archayam deva chakshusham darshana sparshana prashna prava pradarchadandikam. Kim. Weather. Su-alpa.
Very meager.
Tapasam.
Whose
austerities?
Nirnam.
For human beings.
Archayam.
In the deity in the temple.
Deva.
Chakshusham. Deva. God. And that's capital G, so it's referring to not demigods, but Vishnu Tattva. Chakshusham, whose perception?
Darshana,
seeing.
Sparshana,
touching. Prashna, asking questions. Prabha,
bowing down.
Pada Archana, worshipping the feet, adikam, and so on. Please repeat. How is it that people who are not very austere and who recognize God only in his deity form in the temple can now see you, touch you, inquire from you, bow down to you, worship your feet, and serve you in other ways? So here Krishna is referring to the Kanishta Adhikari. There are three levels of devotees. The beginning devotee is the Kanishta. The Kanishta cannot see the other two classes of devotees. That's a symptom of a Kanishta. He only thinks that he is the only devotee, nobody else. the Kanishka can see or appreciate the presence of God in the temple, but cannot distinguish between the other classes of devotees. The second class devotee, Madhyama Adhikari, he is able to see God, other devotees, those who are innocent, and those who are envious. Prabhupada teaches that we should at least raise ourselves to this Madhyama Adhikari platform. We begin from the Kanishka or neophyte stage, and we should raise to the second level, being able to distinguish, here is God, here are devotees, over there are innocent people, and then over there are the envious. We should be able to discern and know how to relate to each of those. God, we give our love, our service, our worship. Devotees, we make friendship. With the innocent, we're merciful, we preach. And to the demons, we avoid. Unless they attack, then we fight. Normally, we're peaceful. But if they're going to attack, we're not going to just say, oh, please kill me. No, we will fight if necessary. So this is how the Madhyama Adhikari behaves. Sees the four different things and behaves differently. The Uttama Adhikari is the person who does not have a pinch of jealousy or envy in his heart and will never ever criticize anyone. The Uttama Adhikari knows perfectly well the conclusion of the Shastras, can defeat any argument based on the Shastras. The Uttama Adhikari thinks that everyone is a devotee except himself. Just the opposite of the Kanishka. The Kanishka thinks, nobody's a devotee, just me. The Uttama Adhikari thinks, oh, everyone's more advanced than me. I'm not even a devotee. Opposites. Let's go to verse number 11. Nahyam mayani tirtani nadeva mrichchila maya te punan yudu kalena darshanad eva sadhava. Synonyms. Not. He. Indeed. Up. Of water. Mayani. Composed. Tirtani. Holy places. Not. Deva. Deities. Mrit. Of earth. Shila. And stone. Maya. Composed. They. Punanti. Purify. Urukalena. After a long time. Darshanat. By being seen. Eva. Only. Sadhava. Saints. Translation, please repeat. Mere bodies of water. Are not the real sacred places of pilgrimage. Nor are mere images of earth and stone the true worshipful deities. These purify only after a long time. But saintly sages purify one immediately upon being seen. So in my life, I can certainly understand this point that Krishna is making. Because when I first went to the temple I saw the deity of Radha Govinda in New York, and I was not able to appreciate, hardly I could appreciate. I saw the deity, but there was not much of an effect. But later that same night, when I saw Srila Prabhupada, that had a tremendous effect. Seeing Srila Prabhupada, especially when Prabhupada was coming out of the room and in the hallway, all the devotees were bowing down. I didn't bow down. But coming from Prabhupada were showers of light, like an aurora borealis, northern lights. They were coming at me, and it was knocking me down to the floor. And I went down like the other devotees. And I was thinking, this is great. Now I understand what they were talking about in the Bible with Jesus. And I was thinking, I have found the modern day Jesus. I was so happy to see how effulgent Srila Prabhupada was. So when Krishna says, but saintly sages purify one immediately, and there's that incident. Prabhupada is walking through the airport, and one of the airport workers, a black man, he's not a devotee, he's just an ordinary worker, says, hey, look at that guy. He's glowing. He could perceive how Prabhupada was so effulgent. So, what Krishna is saying here, I have some appreciation. Let's see what they have written in the purport. Because the personality of Godhead is absolute, the Supreme Spirit, any representation of Him, whether manifested in stone, paint, sound, or any other authorized medium, is non-different from His original form in the topmost spiritual planet, Goloka Vrindavan. But ordinary demigods are not absolute, being infinitesimal spirit souls. And thus, representations of the demigods are not identical with them. Worship of demigods or ritual bathing in a sanctified place gives only limited benefit to those who lack transcendental faith in the Supreme Lord. This paragraph is very, very significant. This is extremely significant. And this, for me, answers a lot of questions. This paragraph alone explains why in ISKCON we don't give any importance to demigod worship. Here, it's very clear. Let's go on. On the other hand, great Vaishnava saints like Vyasadeva, Narada, and the four Kumaras are always absorbed in Krishna consciousness. And thus, they are veritable moving tirthas, or places of pilgrimage. Even a moment's association with them, especially by hearing their glorification of the Lord, can deliver one from all material entanglement. As King Yudhishthir said to Vidura, Bhavad Vida Bhagavatas, Tirtha Bhuta Svayam Vibho, Tirthi Kuravanti Tirthani, Svantak Stena Gadabrata. My Lord, devotees like your good self are verily holy places personified. Because you carry the personality of Godhead within your heart, you turn all places into places of pilgrimage. So Krishna, here in this section of Bhagavatam, is pointing out the importance of saintly, pure saintly association. The verse is coming up very soon. Very famous verse. Let's see where it is. Yes, in two verses will be the famous verse. The verse that Prabhupada used to preach much on. Yasyatma buddhi kunape tridatuke swadikkalatradi sho bauma idjidi yatirta buddhi salile nakaryachit janeshu abhigyeshu saeva gokara. Anyone who's listened to Prabhupada's lectures, you'll notice that many times, very emphatically, he quotes this verse. And he has an incident in his own life. They were in Vrindavan. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, they were doing a Vrindavan parikram. And there was an announcement that there was going to be a party going to visit holy places. But Prabhupada said, no, I would rather stay and hear my Guru Maharaj speak. And that's where this verse, Prabhupada is always hammering, that the real tirtha, the real going to a holy place of pilgrimage, is to hear from the self-realized soul. That's the real business. We should go to hear. And that's why in Prabhupada's temples, there must be preaching. There must be classes. It's not that we just show the deity. No, there must be preaching. There must be classes. That's Prabhupada's temples. They're different from most any other temple. I go to many other temples. There's hardly any preaching going on. And if there is preaching, it's being done by ISKCON devotees. This idea of having regular classes was very important to Prabhupada because his temples are supposed to be learning institutions. I did not go to college. I dropped out of college. I didn't even finish one half semester. I dropped out and became a hippie. But I don't feel I am lacking anything. I got my higher education from studying Prabhupada's books. That's how I see. And I'm able to discuss with anyone simply because I read Prabhupada's books. I don't feel shy in any audience, whether it be college educated, professionals. I don't consider myself at a disadvantage because I've spent the last 30 plus years studying Prabhupada's books. Everything I need to know in life is here in Prabhupada's books. Everything. Simply, I have to milk it and learn it and churn it and imbibe it. That is my faith. I have faith in that. That simply by reading Prabhupada's books. Some years ago, some so-called friends of mine, they were trying to get me to become interested in somebody else. And I said, no, I am not interested in any other so-called guru or maharaj. I've already given my heart and soul to Srila Prabhupada. I'm not taking it back. I'm not going to join some other movement. And then there was another lady. She was starting to come to my programs on a regular basis. And then One day she told me, "You know, Prabhuji, I like your preaching, but you're always quoting Prabhupada. You should just quote Krishna." So I didn't say anything. But then she came to another program and she said, "I want you, can you get me Bhagavatam?" I said, "Yes, I'll get you the whole set of Bhagavatam." So somehow or other, she got the set of Bhagavatams, BBT Bhagavatams. Then one day she called me on the phone and she said, "Prabhu, I don't like this Bhagavatam." And then she used the word, "This Bhagavatam is trash." She said, "I see so many mistakes in your Prabhupada's Bhagavatam." So I said, "Well, what's the problem?" So I tried. She had all these objections. And many of her objections were with the exact translation. So she had a problem not just with Prabhupada, she had a problem with Srila Vyasadeva. So she kept on saying how she didn't like Srimad Bhagavatam. She was a follower of the hugging guru. You heard the hugging guru? So her hugging guru told her that in Kali Yuga, all the books are not good. So there's no need to read any books. So after the phone at the end, I said, "So Mataji, I cannot help you." She said that again, she repeated, "I like your preaching. You should simply give up Prabhupada and just accept Krishna." I said, "Mataji, I might as well commit suicide. I cannot give up Prabhupada. I know nothing about Krishna. The only thing I know about Krishna is what has come from Srila Prabhupada. You want me to give up Prabhupada? Then I might as well commit suicide. Because in this life, the only way I know about Krishna is through Srila Prabhupada." And then, after that, she again came to a program. And I told the host, "I do not want to talk to this lady ever again." Because she wanted to again get into an argument with me. But after that, I said, "No, you are hopeless." I told the host, "I am not going to speak to her. You can tell her whatever you want, but I don't want to see her face ever again." And after that, she never came. I had to. What choice? She wants me to give up Prabhupada? Where's the knife? Where's the gun? I cannot give up Prabhupada. I will not give up Prabhupada because that's the only link I have to Krishna consciousness is through Srila Prabhupada. Any questions? Any questions?
Clear?
Questions? Usually you have good questions.
Well, I still have the question, but it's not related to...
That's all right. Any question?
It's about the Maha Mantra.
Go.
I wanted to... Because I guess first I want to know what when you in your personal chanting, what do you... Who you realize in the second part of the mantra?
Me personally, when I chant Hare Rama,
yes.
When I chant Hare Rama, I'm thinking Krishna Balaram, like that. Not so much, I'm not very much devotee of Lord Ramachandra. I'm not devotee of Parashuram. I accept them, I worship them, but I see them as Krishna's expansion. So my heart and mind is in Krishna Leela, in Lord Chaitanya Leela. So when I am chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, my heart is in Vrindavan and in Navadvip, in Jagannath Puri. Therefore, Krishna, Balaram, Nityananda, Chaitanya. You understand what I'm saying? But Prabhupada does write in Chaitanya Charitamrita that if somebody is chanting Hari Ram and is thinking Sita Ram, they're perfect. And he even goes so far as to say that if one thinks of Ram as Lord Parashuram, Prabhupada says that's fine because they're all Vishnu Tattva. It's not a mistake. So there are many people, they're very fond of Sita, Ram, Lakshman, Hanuman. Otherwise, why are the deities here? There are, you know, so many Indian people, they're very fond. Okay, in fact, last Sunday, I gave the Sunday feast lecture in San Diego, and one Indian gentleman asked me, actually, Ram came before Krishna, therefore the mantra should be first Hari Ram, Hari Ram, Ram Ram, Hari Hari, and then Hari Krishna, Hari Krishna. And so I said to him, well, Prabhupada said that's okay if you want to chant like that. But in ISKCON we chant this way because this is how Lord Chaitanya gave us. Because when Lord Chaitanya started, there was much criticism that he's giving the Maha Mantra to the low-class people. So Lord Chaitanya reversed it. This is new. This is Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So that the envious would not unnecessarily criticize. But we are chanting, coming down through disciplic succession of Lord Chaitanya and Srila Prabhupada. So let me ask you, when you chant, who do you think is Hare Rama?
When I chant, I meditate in Balaram.
Good. Good. That's very good.
That was my understanding that was the purpose behind the Maha Mantra. And that's why I got confused. When you spoke the other day.
Would you like me to find you the purport where Prabhupada explains this?
Yeah, I will do that. To understand what would be the benefit of having the Maha Mantra addressing two personalities at the same time.
Because Krishna consciousness is different levels. We're not all the same level. You have to understand this point. We're at different levels. Some people are not at that level where they can appreciate Balaram. And some people can appreciate Lord Ram. Lord Ram and Balaram are God. So there's no problem. What is the problem? They're chanting the name of God. And God has unlimited forms. Just like when I sing the song, My Sweet Lord. Do you see that verse I add? Do you notice I add two verses in that song? My own verse. You can call him Allah. You can call him Buddha. You can call him Adonai. You can even say Christ. You heard me sing that verse? Mm-hmm. It's based on that point. We are the most liberal movement. Because you will find people, they cannot chant Hare Krishna. All right. Whatever name of God you understand, chant that. 2 years ago, a Hindu friend of mine She has Muslim friends. And this Muslim family was in a lot of distress. So my Hindu friend convinced this Muslim family to invite me to their house to do a blessing. So I went. And they were in a lot of strife. So I brought a Nrisingadev deity to their home. I installed a Nrisingadev deity and I did the Nrisinga prayers. I had a conch shell and I had Ganga gel. So I went through the house, I sprinkled Ganga gel through the house, I set up an altar, and while I was singing Nrisinga prayers, I told them, the Muslim family, so what is your prayer that you say in Muslim religion? And they say, we chant Allahu Akbar. That's their mantra. I said, while I'm chanting these prayers in the Nrisinga, you chant your mantra and repeat it over and over. Because that's how they glorify God. Allahu Akbar, which means Allah is great. So that was my contention. Because they're not going to chant prayers to Lord Nrisingadev. So let them chant the name of God and get benefit. I did get them to chant Hare Krishna. At one point, I had them repeat Hare Krishna and they repeat. And they were very, very happy that I came and blessed. So we are very liberal. We just want people to chant the name of God. Now, of course, we want them to chant Hare Krishna. All right, if you can't chant the name Christ, Jehovah, Allah, whatever name of God you have, begin. You have to begin somewhere. Chant. Yes?
So I want to add to the Hare Krishna mantra chanting and everything. So what Prabhupada was asked by his disciple, so who should we think? Whom should we meditate when we chant Hare Krishna mantra? So Prabhupada simply answered, you don't have to think of anybody else. First try to hear what you have chanted.
Yes.
That will come automatically, you don't have to meditate.
Good.
That will come automatically. As you chant, as you become a little advanced, that will come immediately, you know, automatically. Not, you know, artificially, you know.
Very good point. Very, I like this point.
No need to meditate.
Yes, because that's a different question. That's a good point. I get that question a lot. Prabhu, what should I be thinking while I'm chanting? And that's exactly the answer.
Try to listen clearly. Okay?
That's correct. That is chanting. You're just listening to the sound.
Yeah, that's the perfect.
There's one God brother of mine, he has written one book, and he preaches that you should be thinking of Krishna's pastimes. And I disagree. I like what you're saying. This is correct. This is not an artificial process. The process is hearing and chanting. Very good. More questions.
I just want to say about that, that it does in the beginning, but then when you start to concentrate and you chant for a while, then you notice that you need to focus on something more than just a name, because you know that this is a personal connection that you're doing. So you are actually connecting with someone. And somehow there is that need that you need to see who are you connecting with. And in the Maha Mantra, somehow for me it became difficult to just, at least in the beginning it was okay, but then later on I needed to have, you know, the person behind the name in order to somehow connect with it.
All right. And for you, Ram is Balaram. Good.
I just want to know exactly who is behind the name.
And we've already answered it. Depending on your level, you're either going to understand Balaram, Ram, Parashuram, or Nityananda Ram. It depends. We're not all the same. Okay?
So it has to do with the...
your level.
Level or Swarup City of the...
Don't bring in this Swarup City business. Don't introduce that.
Because if you say level, then it will mean that one is more advanced than the other.
Did I say that?
You say level.
So?
Level means...
level could be parallel levels. I didn't put any value judgment on it. Angle of vision. How about that? All right? We'll take back that word level. We'll erase it. Angle of vision. Better? Okay? Remember. Anyway, I want you to read that purport. I'll find the purport. Better Prabhupada explain it than me. What else? Nope. You want to add anything? All right. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.